pray with me. Father, I pray that everything that's shared in this workshop might come directly from your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I do pray for those that are watching and listening that you would speak to their hearts, you would speak to their minds, that you would implant the truths that you want them to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, everyone loves a good story, and God has given you one to tell. But really, your story is His story. God is the star. You're playing the supporting role. Now, don't get me wrong. You're important in your story, but He is eminent. And your story, or His story, is unique in a lot of ways, but it's common to humanity and has been repeated millions of times throughout history. It's a rescue story. It's a redemptive story. Yes, it's a love story. But of all things, it's a story of great hope. And it's important that you know your story and are ready and able to be able to tell that story when given the opportunity. Let me remind you of 1 Peter 3:15. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. I wonder how prepared you are today to share your story. That, in a big way, is why Beth and I are leading you through this workshop. It's an exercise of preparing ourselves to be able to give a reason for the hope that we have in Jesus. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Did you hear that? Declare with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Both are important. So this workshop, number one, is going to help you declare that which you believe. But it's also going to help you to believe that which you declare. Some wins of going through this workshop might be, number one, you'll have more clarity to your story. Everybody wants to give a clear communication of the story of God's faithfulness in their lives. Secondly, you can have more brevity to your story. And usually brevity leads to better understanding. And lastly, you will have more security in your story. We want you to be confident in what you believe so that you can believe with great confidence that which you declare. Yes, it's going to be a challenge for us, but it's intended to stretch you and to cause you to work through issues that maybe you never have before. But Beth and I can promise you and assure you that it'll be well worth the work.
Johnny, and one of the things for me personally is that it is a tremendous blessing to me. Every time that I reflect and remember and think again what God has done in my life and walking with the Lord for over half a century, even now when I think about it, it never loses its meaning. It in fact, it just becomes more and more valuable and important to me. So I want to encourage you that as you begin this journey, expect it to be a tremendous personal blessing between you and the Lord. And as Johnny said, though, it can also be hard and a challenge. Someone has told me one time that every time we tell our story, that it requires a dying to ourselves, a death to us, but yet the blessing that comes is going to be tremendous in your life. So expect it. Expect it to be a blessing, but expect it to be a tremendous challenge as well.
Good. Well, we have developed a worksheet for this workshop. It's been provided you on the website. Hopefully, you've already accessed that worksheet. It's to help you think through and to help you organize your story, His story that we've already talked about. It's to ensure that you use good theology and that good theology guides you in the declaration of your story. And I've asked Beth to share with you how she utilized this personal testimony worksheet, the same one that you have access to and that we're asking you to spend time between you and the Lord completing and filling out. I've asked her to share with us how she utilized that worksheet. So, Beth, if you're ready, let's get right to the personal testimony worksheet. As you know, there are 9 questions. Question number 1, how did you behave, Beth, and how did you think prior to becoming a Christian?
Well, because I first remember hearing the gospel as a child and really remember responding to God as a child as best I could, and then later on in life made a recommitment. I would describe myself as a normal child who was basically extremely self-centered. In fact, I would sum it up by saying it was all about me. And parents, family, friends, everybody existed to sort of make my world go round and make me a happy little girl.
Yeah. Well, so when you were a young child, can you remember what did you believe about God or about Jesus?
Well, I can, growing up in the church where I grew up, the gospel was clearly taught. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus was clearly taught. And I can remember sitting in Sunday school and when I first began to read and watching my Sunday school teachers hold up John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So that's sort of my earliest remembrance of seeing it and being able to read it in a Sunday school class.
Yeah, the building block of your theology of a young child. Question number 3, Beth. So what would you say was your identity in life, your goals, your dreams as a little girl?
As a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, we had a strong family, a strong immediate family, and we were very much a family of the 50s and the 60s where all of my aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents lived very close around us. And so lots of immediate family, lots of extended family was important, but also friends were very important. My father and my family's best friends, they bought 2 lots on one street, and so it was just our family and the family next door who lived on this one street. They were our best friends. And one of the children that lived next door is my very best friend. And my goal at that time was just to get outside and play and not let anybody hinder me from getting outside to play.
All right. Well, question number 4 on the worksheet, Beth, says, what caused you to consider putting your trust when you totally surrendered your life to Jesus Christ?
Well, as a child like that, I really didn't have any... I understood. I had a strong conscience. That was drilled into me. I'm not sure if it was just parents, but I do believe that it was also a work of the Spirit. I understood disobedience. At the time, there were 4 children in our family, so my sister and I were very close. We shared a room. I loved her very much, but I can remember one time saying a really mean thing to her and feeling very guilty, bad about it. In fact, I can remember wanting to make it up to her. So I got all my money that I could gather that I'd saved up, and I took it and gave it to her, trying to cover the guilt. But a second thing that happened in our family was my mother had 4 children. She was pregnant with her 5th. And my father, at the age of 38, died of cancer, leaving her with all of us. So there were 2 things, you know, that I knew about disobedience, but also death became a reality in our family. And maybe I'll share the rest of that as we go on down.
Yeah. All right. Well, so can you remember when you heard the gospel, how was it delivered, that good news about Jesus? Can you describe the circumstances of first hearing the gospel?
Well, yeah. Again, number 1, that I can remember that feeling of trying to make up for the guilt I felt. Mm-hmm. And John 3:16, you know, answered that question for us. that God so loved that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. And when my mother set us down to tell us that my father had walked out the door and would never come back, her words were this: and if you want to go to heaven, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. So as a six-year-old, of course, if that's the train that's going to heaven, you know, I said, and Jesus is the way, then I'm gladly going to believe that, that's the truth.
Thank God for a mother going through the biggest trial of her life was able to share the gospel with her young daughter, yourself. So question six is, so then tell us, when did you actually place your trust and faith in Jesus, when you felt like you actually received his salvation?
Well, I can remember telling my mother and in our church what you did when you believed is you walked forward and you talked to the pastor and then you were baptized. And I can tell my mother, that's what I want to do. And so she wisely, I'm not sure, again, I understood certainly not everything, told the pastor that I wanted to respond to the message of the gospel. And she actually took me. I had a meeting with him. He explained the gospel. And I was baptized, you know, again, because as much as I could understand as a six-year-old, I understood that as hard as I was trying to be good, I couldn't.
Right.
And I understood that death was a reality.
Yeah.
It became very real in our home.
Yes. Well, question seven of the worksheet, Beth, says, so once you became a Christian, what changed in either your behavior or your speech or even the way you thought about the world or the life that you were living?
Well, one of the first things that, again, for me at that time was he, as again, I didn't connect all the dots as a six-year-old,
yeah.
Of course, in a way only a six-year-old could. But there was something that I understood that I could not make up for my sin. And there was something that I understood that there was life after death and that we could be sure that of heaven. So the two biggest things, he took away my fears, my fears of condemnation and guilt, even at that age, and my fear to a certain degree of death.
Wow. You didn't have total understanding, but you had enough understanding to put your trust in him. Question eight, so what are the benefits? It's something maybe tangible, maybe a promise that God has fulfilled in your life. What are the benefits of becoming a Christian and trusting in Jesus?
Well, and I'll share this more in my story, but there was also a recommitment in my life later on.
Yes.
When I became a teenager. And I want to say I feel like probably others of your testimonies are going to be like mine. You heard it as a child and responded, because that's usually children will. But I think almost always there has to be a recommitment later on,
yes.
You know, when you're older. And there was a recommitment later in my life. So one of the tangible benefits is that Jesus has always been with me. I've never doubted that. He's fulfilled my life. He's given me his word and his Holy Spirit to understand it. And so what promise has God fulfilled in my life? I think it's one that I learned very early on, a very simple one, that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yes.
And he's never left me nor forsaken me. And the fact that I'm standing here today is a tangible benefit to trust in Jesus.
Well, the last question on the worksheet, Beth, so what's the greatest change, do you think, that Jesus has made in your life from the time before you knew him to now living for him?
Well, yeah, I think, again, two things that are just so liberating, that he has set me free from condemnation and feelings of guilt. He set me free from a fear of death. But another thing, and this came later on as a young adult, a young teenager, was that he gave me compassion and love for people that I don't remember having before. I mean, a real love for the people. Those are two tangible things, yeah. three tangible things.
Okay, great.
Changes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for, I'm confident that you going through that worksheet and kind of explaining how you spent time with the Lord and you prayed and you didn't just try to get an answer down, you tried to really get what is it that he was trying to show you and teach you. And I'm hoping that maybe you glean some help when you go through your worksheet between you and the Lord as well. But another thing I'm confident of, Beth, is that our class would be blessed hearing your story or his story of his faithfulness in you. So please share your testimony with us.
Well, yes, thank you. Well, that's a real privilege for me to share. It's always a privilege for me to share what God has done in my life, and I'm thankful to be able to share it today. So if you would bow with me and pray, I'm just ask God to take it and use it in my life right now and in your life as well. God, I just want to thank you that you have given me such a wonderful message to share. And God, I thank you for my life story that you have written upon my heart and my mind, and that is of your amazing grace. And so I pray now, God, that you would take my story as simple and as unspectacular as it is, maybe. God, I know that it's amazing grace, and I'm so thankful for it. So would you take my words now, Lord, and would you use them for your glory? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I grew up in a family that took me to church, and a church that taught that Jesus died and rose from the dead for our sins, and that the way to heaven was to believe in him. From John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. My parents also read us the Bible at home. I knew that I was disobedient. I had sisters and a brother, and I shared a room with my sister, and I can remember saying something really mean to her and then feeling so guilty about it that I took all the money that I could gather and I tried giving it to her to make my feelings of guilt go away. Also, when I was six, my father, who was 38 years old, died, leaving my mother with four children and pregnant with her fifth. And my mother brought us together, and she said, you know, the Lord's going to take all of us one day. And if you want to go to heaven and see your daddy again, and if you want to go to heaven and live eternally with God, then you have to receive Jesus into your life. Two things I understood in a way that only a six-year-old could. I couldn't pay enough money to make my guilt go away. I couldn't pay for my sin, but also death was a reality. And the answer to both is Jesus. I told the Lord I wanted him to come into my life and save me, and I went before the church and was baptized, immersed. My mother married 2 years later to a man who had been my father's college roommate, whose wife had also died. He is a World War II veteran, and he said he had always wondered why God had spared his life when he met my mother. He knew why. He's 95 years old today, and he's still taking care of us ever since. We moved to the mountains of North Carolina, and I would have to say that as a young girl growing up, my identity was in my family, a strong, immediate family, big family, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, but also my friends. And I was happiest when I was with my family, but as I grew older, middle schoolish, I wanted to be with my friends. A girl came to our school that for some reason it became fashionable to make up for her. She was treated cruelly. And instead of going and being her friend, I retreated, afraid people would turn on me. She ended up dying that year, and it completely devastated me the day I found out. I went home, shut myself in my room, and cried for hours. I felt so guilty, and I knew there isn't any way I could make up to her what happened and go be her friend because she was no longer alive. So there were two things that I knew as a 15-year-old. Again, I couldn't pay or make up for my guilt, and that death is a reality. And during this time when I was in my room crying, God also began to reveal to me what a selfish, self-serving, self-interested little girl I was becoming. And finally, my mother came in to find out what happened, and then she shared with me a verse after I told her what was going on, which was 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I got down on my knees and said, dear God, because I felt so guilty, I felt like I was going to suffocate under the weight and the burden of it. But that day, I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I don't know what happened when I was six, if it was real or not, but whatever was real to a six-year-old has got to become real to me tonight as a 15-year-old. I'm sorry for what I've done, and I ask you, Lord, to take my life and forgive me of my sin and use me for your glory. And literally, there was almost an immediate change in all of my being, physically and internally. It was like somebody opened a window and a fresh breeze blew through. I knew I was forgiven. That's when I began to read the Bible for myself and realized God wanted every area of my life. He gave me his peace, and I immediately, on the inside, felt a change, and that was I had something happen in my heart that I had never felt before, and that was genuine compassion and love for other people. Two main things he did. He took away my guilt. He freed me from the condemnation I felt, and he freed me from the fear of death and gave me a love for people I hadn't had before. I truly became a new person on the inside, haven't always looked like it on the outside. But my life has never been the same.
Praise God. Thank you. To him be the glory, Beth. But there's been a lot of beneficiaries of his work in your life, me being first in line for that. So thank you for sharing that testimony. I thought it'd be important that you and I just summarize maybe some important parts of the testimony that you just shared, so that people can kind of know where our hearts are. Not so much the mechanics or the methodology. I mean, anybody can learn that, but really the heart behind it. Is there something that's on your mind right now that you'd like to share with the class?
Well, there would be a few things, and one of them would be if you take the time and to sit with the Lord and listen to him, God will reveal and bring things back to your mind that you've even forgotten about how he has worked in your life. And it's a real blessing. Mm-hmm. It's very encouraging and strengthening that he will reveal your story to you, whether you remember it or not.
Yeah.
And then also, make sure you have a story to tell. Make sure you've experienced God's grace. And if you haven't, this is a wonderful time to make sure that you are the recipient of God's, that you have appropriated God's amazing grace.
Yeah. I want the class members to hear that point again, that you need to know that you have a story of faith in Christ, but also the other side of that coin is it's not mandatory that you necessarily share that at the end of this week or at the end of next week with your small group. There'll be options and opportunities for some of you to do that in that Zoom discussion meeting that you have with your discussion group, with your leader. But it's not mandatory, and you're not going to be forced or compelled to do anything that you're not ready and that you're not comfortable with. Don't you agree with me? There's good that can come from just the exercise internally of preparing your testimony, even if you're not ready to declare that or not. Anything else that comes to your mind?
Well, you know, I've thought about this. Maybe if you've never shared it before and wanted to, is you might pick one person, you know, and just say, look, we're working on this in my Bible study. Would you let me practice on you?
Yes.
And, you know, practice on a family member or neighbor or somebody close by.
Yeah. You in your testimony, at least twice, you used Scripture. You used John 3:16 and 17, and you used 1 John 1:9. And we strongly recommend, that's why that worksheet is so important. It helps you to develop the Scripture. You can look it up in the Bible. You can, ask God, what Scripture is really important to me. But then when you actually give your story, those scriptures will be memorized. They'll be set or seated in your own heart. Mm-hmm. And we strongly recommend, for sure, at least have, at a minimum, share one scripture as you share your story or your testimony. Because remember, it's God's word that changes our hearts. It isn't somebody's clever presentation or anything like that. It's God's word. So at least share one scripture, but you probably don't want to share 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 scriptures. It's not a Bible study. It's a testimony. And so I think that's an important thing for our class members as they develop this story. Use a scripture, use one or two or three, we recommend, very effectively, like you use those two scriptures in your story.
Well, and I think we included the 3.5 to 5 minutes because I would say the majority of times that I have been asked, how did you get to where you are?
Yeah.
And why do you do what you do? It has literally been across a dinner table.
Yeah.
With maybe 4, 5, 6 people, and you've really got a very short window there. And so, or maybe it's just a neighbor standing out in the cul-de-sac and who says, wow, how did the world get to this place? And then you can, you know, say, well, I'll tell you where it began, you know, back in the Garden of Eden, and let me tell you about my story with. So it's usually, we just have a short window of time. Usually, sometimes you get be able to share the 45-minute version.
Right.
But also, I would like to, you know, the great equalizer with us, all of us, is we can be from different backgrounds, socioeconomic places. We can be from different countries, ages, all that, education. But one thing, if you are born again, that we all have in common is that we've had our sins forgiven.
Mm.
And I think it's imperative in your story, and I think it's something you need to think through and deal with the Lord. There had to be a time in my life where God revealed to me that I was a sinner. And I know for some people that's very obvious, but for others it may not be, or you've never really thought about it. Maybe you've been in a church who really hasn't addressed that. But how can we ever know we need a Savior if we were never convinced that we were a sinner? And you can say it any which way you want to say it, but that I had sinned against God and I needed a Savior.
Yeah.
And I think that's imperative.
I do too.
To include in your story.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I think it's really important. And as it relates to that sin issue, haven't we all heard testimonies, maybe a 10-minute testimony where 9 minutes we're talking about the sinful life. And so you can glorify or joke. A lot of times I've heard testimonies where people joke about their sinfulness in their life and it brings glory to the sin. And that's not what we want to do. We want to bring glory to the Savior, the one who overcame the sin with his blood on the cross. And so don't focus so much on the sin. That would be another, if you're going to do a 5-minute testimony, make sure only a minute or so is about the sinful life. The rest of it needs to be about the Savior's life that he's given you. And then one last thing that's on my heart and mind, you kind of alluded to it, but most of the time, you know, a neighbor out in the cul-de-sac isn't going to come up to you and say, hey, would you please give me a sermon right now? You know, that's mm-hmm. not, and you get a podium out, and you get a Bible out, and you get your little outline mm-hmm. out. No, it's going to be, you know, you're just going to be in a conversation, and you're going to have an opportunity to share your story. And so my challenge would be, or my suggestion would be, don't try to explain doctrine. Don't try to give a sermon. Don't try to give an exhortation. I would say it this way. It's not that you're telling others what they should do. It's that you're telling others what God has done in and through you. It's your story that God has worked in your life. And so it's a testimony, not a sermon. Or not an exhortation. I think that's really important. Any last thoughts that you have before we close?
Just to add to that I think when we do share it, there's going to be many people, though, who we share it with, who want to know that they can come into a right relationship with God too. that is the goal. So although we are not trying to preach, we do want to share it in a way and leave the door open, you know, that someone is going to want to come to Christ. It's going to be so, God's Holy Spirit is going to work, so they're going to be compelled, you know, that maybe we would have an opportunity as we share for a person to hear and come to a saving knowledge of Him through our story. That would be that's a tremendous privilege.
Yeah. No guilt to anyone listening, but, you know, if you know Jesus and He's given you His salvation, His eternal life, is it not maybe the most selfish thing that you could ever imagine to keep that to yourself? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the most precious, most valuable, the most important. It is a number one. It is our lives. And for some of us to use the excuse, well, I'm too shy, I don't know enough theology, I don't understand, what if they ask me about this, what if they ask me about that? No, it's about Jesus and what He's done in your life. And all of us, if we're humble enough to ask God to help us, we can do that with God's strength. So, Beth, thank you so much for that great worksheet working through, and then also the testimony that came from that. So I hope you all have better insight after viewing today in preparing how to share your story, His story of how He's worked in your life, but more importantly than your story and your faith in Him, it's really His faithfulness to you. So dig in. Don't be afraid to do the hard work. Ask God, pray, ask God to help you to do that worksheet and to answer those lessons, questions, and then engage in your small group. It's a safe place. It's a secure place. And you can have that discussion Monday night, and then you'll have another week to answer some more questions and maybe even go deeper as you prepare to your own personal testimony. God bless.